My talk today will end up with my present giving. You're all looking forward to that? Can we have big smiles? Thank you. And I've called this talk God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and our destiny. And it's my gift Sunday. Well, last week I used the words of the angel of the Lord when he spoke to Mary as a basis for my talk. For with God nothing is impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. And I claim that prayer you've just prayed over me. Thank you, Andy. I encourage you to speak the word in prayer to God. And I encourage you to use the adapted prayer that I found in my commentary by Joyce Meyer. Lord, I know that with you nothing is ever impossible, and that no word from you will ever be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Because we can be very shy when it comes to sort of sharing stuff that we should be sharing. And we lose the courage to speak sometimes. But if God has given us something, we need to deliver it. And we need to claim that promise that nothing is ever impossible, and that no word from us will be without power. And that's a really important thing to remember, especially as I've been ramming home about sharing the gospel this Christmas. Because we're all mixing with people, whether it be shop people, whether it be our families, whether it's friends, whether it's the visitors to our churches, it's all there. It's around us. Christmas is around us. And there's a bit about that, isn't there? What was that one in Love Actually where he sings that song? Yeah. what was it?
Love is all around.
Love is all around, yeah. Well, I left you with that to chew over and take away. But this week I'm sharing with you about how important the knowledge of our triune God is to sharing the gospel, and how all three persons of the Holy Spirit are involved in the triune God, and how we each were present in the past and how they operate still. We Christians worship the triune God, and that is a big thing for some people to get their head round. I know when before I became a Christian I could understand about God, but do you think I could get Jesus into the equation properly? No way. You all know the story of Christmas. Some of you will have a better understanding than others, but some of you, I know, struggle to share it with others. But none of you are ignorant to the Christmas story. Not one of you. So what I hope to do is to share a way of telling it that has a relevance in today's modern inquiring world. And of course I go back to the prison. There's nothing like the prison as a training ground, and I know that some of you think, oh bloody, she ain't going to talk about prison again, but it was my training ground, well and truly. And one of the things about working in prison was that they were never afraid of challenging you in your thinking. And I often faced a load of cynical men over the birth of Mary, the Virgin Mary. Can you imagine? I'm standing there in front of the men and I'm going to share with them about the birth of Christ. And I found that the fact that we have a triune God, a really great anchor for the message of Christmas. I remember answering their lively questions that went along the lines of then, well, go on then, you tell us how she got pregnant. And they would sit grinning at me, waiting for me to feel very uncomfortable. Well, of course, God blessed me with a loud mouth. Some of you, he blessed in different ways. And my biggest problem with the Lord is to know when to keep it shut. But this wasn't one of those times. I would respond like this. I would say, I take it you all understand the reproductive system. And then they sort of, you could see them sort of think, ooh, what is she going to talk about? And then I would explain that God's Son wasn't born of man. And I would read the verse that we read last week, but from the Message version, which puts it like this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy Son of God. And I would hold my hands like this. And, you know, you could see the penny drop in some eyes. And I found it much easier when you face questions that may be posed to you, designed to put you on the spot and make you feel uncomfortable. But actually, you can turn them, because that's an anchor into something. It's a way in to talking to somebody that is quite happy to try and pull the worst out of it or put you down, but it's a way in, and it's a very useful one. It gives you the opportunity to speak very frankly about something that is skirting around our triune God. By reading them the verse, that particular verse, and then taking them right back to Isaiah 7:14, I can share the connection. And I can speak of the exact moment that Mary was experiencing that Old Testament verse for real. And then I would take them, I always took them to Genesis. Genesis 1. Genesis 1 to 3. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then I would take them straight to John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light, that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the dark, but come it. When I wanted them to grasp that you cannot think of God without involving that we understand from the Bible, because you just can't. You can't split them up, and it's really helpful to put them together. I would tell them about the time when all three parts of the Holy Trinity were together at the baptism of Jesus. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I never spoke of Christmas without mentioning Easter. Jesus is our gift. He came to die, but he didn't stay dead. He beats death, and he does it for each one of us. At Christmas, we celebrate the gift of the love of God who came down to save us as Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus said at the end, as he goes, then, of course, Jesus will, he'll say, I'm sorry about this. But then Jesus says he will ask the Father and he will send us a helper. And here we go again. Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Do you know we're never alone? And when we seek to tell people about Jesus at Christmas, you're not doing it on your own. You're doing it with the helper. You are an ambassador, as I said last week. You're an ambassador for God, and we mustn't forget that. Because that's our destiny on earth. In lots of ways, it's easier to speak to people who are ready to challenge you, because it gives you that opportunity to talk very clearly about the God we all serve. And the Bible makes it clear that you're to relate to God the Father in the Holy Spirit and around through Jesus Christ, and I'll explain that in a minute. This Trinitarian picture of God makes it easier to address lack of understanding. I find that there's no one size fits all, but I did find with the prisoners that the one thing that really helped is that they were direct. They wouldn't sit and listen to you without confronting you. They said it as it appears to them, and it gives you really good ground to explain so much. Your average person that you are going to meet, lovely people, is to be polite to any challenges. And it's sad because they don't understand and they don't like to ask. The bluntness of the prisoner's questions is so much easier to deal with than people going around, and it's very sad this, in a polite cloud of confusion. And that's one of the reasons that prisoners who come to faith do so in a very loud and raucous way. A way that's infectious. Because once they've got it, they're not embarrassed to say so. We look for the miraculous work of God in people's lives this Christmas. We really do. And we want to be part of it by sharing something of what we believe. And hopefully some of what I share this morning and have shared already will help. My own faith journey had many miracles attached to it. And healings that I can attest to. Healings and miracles were commonplace in prison. But prison isn't the only place you'll see these things. Countries where there are no medical supplies, where the only hope the people have is the Almighty Triune God. We in the West have become very jaded. We don't accept miracles. We will explain them away. Men in a high security jail who are suffering with their health cannot get the help they need medically. Very often the list is just too long to get the officers to take them to a hospital. If the sickness in the jail, there's not so many officers there, so they can't be taken to the hospital. It's just not that simple. Some prisoners need three officers as an escort, and they're gone for hours. If they're in hospital, they have to have two to three officers with them the whole time they're in hospital, which makes operations a very difficult thing to organise. And they died sometimes. And that was very sad. I saw men dying in the prison for the sheer lack of healthcare, intervening in time. And I've been to court giving evidences in such cases, and it's heartbreaking. But I also saw so many of them healed miraculously. I encourage you to take time, she's not here today, to talk to Purity, who's come back from her mission in Kenya, and she will tell you of the miracles she witnessed. Nothing grows your faith faster than actively getting out on mission. Where Purity worked, people were starving, and she knew that without God's intervention and provision, lives would be lost. I said last week that I would talk more about our destiny. Andy touched on it in his talk the week before when he spoke those words from Ephesians 5:14, where Paul quotes from Isaiah, "Awake, O sleeper." For a large part, our modern day churches are asleep. Christmas is a wonderful time. It's a time when people really get carried away with all the glitz of it. But they lose out on that sound story of Jesus. I'm thinking of the family now that's just lost their mum. Four little children going to share Christmas, and what is Christmas going to be like for them. And I want to thank those people who have been helping me put together gifts for them, and we were able to take a sack round with several presents each for each child, and that was good. And I think of Lisa, our ex prisoner that I've been involved with, and how I had support again from you to give to her. I often think that Christmas is a time that we do so many things that should be done every day of the week. We're servants. We're here to serve. We're here to share. We're here to preach the gospel, not just the ministers, but everybody that's a Christian. Well, our modern day churches are asleep, and it worries me. And I don't know what to say about that, except to keep on praying that they will get the message, that last message that Jesus left us with, when we were called to preach the gospel to all nations. And starting where? Well, their home was Jerusalem. Ours is Brightlingsea. And what do we want to do? Yes, baptize them how? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity again. So what is our destiny? Well, as Andy said, our immediate destiny is to share what we know about Jesus. Share what we know about Jesus. And as David Chamberlain said, each one reach one. Christmas is a wonderful opportunity. And Easter is the other wonderful opportunity. Here on earth, for the believer, it's to tell others what we already know. And you don't have to have got a theological degree or anything like. Share what you know. What God has done in your life. What you know about the whole subject of Christmas. Our eternal destiny. Our eternal destiny is to know our Redeemer and meet again with him and be taken to our eternal home, heaven, where we're going to experience so much more. When I speak to families and I speak at funerals and I think to myself, they're saying goodbye to a loved one with absolutely no idea whether they'll ever see them again. One of the most difficult things I have to do in a funeral is take the funeral of somebody that believes absolutely nothing. And you've got a congregation sometimes of 100 people, and they're all grieving because they've lost that loved one. And I just seem to think that it's so sad. So I always try to bring some kind of comfort along the way. And that comfort is wrapped up in who Jesus is, what he did, who the Father is, and the Holy Spirit. I would be failing in my job if I didn't. Where will we experience so much more than we've got here on earth? We're going to heaven. We know it, because that's where we are. But think just outside your box. Who do you love? Who do you care about? Who are you going to be really sorry when they leave this earth and they're not going to be with you? Let that spur you on to share what we need to share. I've got a little gift for you that may anchor home my message of the Trinity today. But I want to close with a quote from a Baptist minister that I read this morning. His name is Sean Thomas. And he quotes from Ephesians 2:18, which reads, and I'm reading, this is the bit from the Amplified Bible, "For it is through him that we both have a direct way of approaching in one spirit to the Father." He says, this shows you how you are to relate to each person of the Trinity daily. Every day, you are to come in the Spirit, through Jesus, to the Father. And we should relate to the Triune God every day. And maybe you haven't realized it. I certainly don't think I've done anything like enough about it. But we need to, and we really need to do this. People make many mistakes in the way they relate to God because they don't understand his true nature rightly. Maybe they make it all about the Holy Spirit instead of God the Father. Or they try to come some other way other than through Jesus. And Jesus makes it so clear, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To God the Father, in the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. The true nature of God is a pattern for your earthly relationships. And I'm saying our triune God is present throughout the Bible, and we just need to be aware of this as we share the story of Christmas, so that we're prepared for the dodgy questions that might arise.